Well, praise God. Well, get your Bibles out this morning, church. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so glad Jesus is alive. I'm so glad I know Him. Hello? Man, I'm so glad I'm not lost out there this morning trying to figure out what's going on. How about y'all? You know, I started a message last week, I think I did. I've been so confused this whole week because I was down in the valley preaching. I preached a men's conference on Friday and then Saturday morning and then preached their Sunday morning church. And then I came home Sunday night. And so then my Monday felt like, you know, something. I don't know what. And so I've been kind of, so the time we got to Wednesday church, I was just like, I didn't even know where we were, who the people were or whatever. So I'm kind of the same way today. I just feel like it's a brand new church. Hello? I just feel like I'm preaching to a brand new church, a brand new bunch of people. I'm glad y'all are here this morning. You're excited about the Word of God and about Jesus. You know, I tell you, we might as well just fold up and go home and sit on the couch and eat potato chips and watch a football game or go dove hunting tomorrow. We don't do it today. I said tomorrow, just rednecks, okay? But, you know, and just don't even mess with church if Jesus isn't real, if something isn't happening, if life isn't changing, if we're not being touched and healed and blessed and transformed, well, then there's no sense in going through the motions because I don't need something else to do during the week just to be religious. Are y'all with me? I'm glad that we serve a living God. He's alive. He's well. He is wanting to move in your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to reveal the word to you. He wants to come into your lives, and He wants you to walk in abundant blessing. Hello? If you're here today and you believe that God is after you, He's against you, He's trying to make you sick, He's trying to kill you, He's trying to throw things at you, He's trying to teach you, He's gonna punish you, listen to me, you're in the wrong house because I ain't preaching that today. I'm not ever preaching that. I believe in a good God, amen? I believe in a God that loves you. Come on, that's full of mercy and full of grace and wants to bless you. Hello? All right, so I started preaching this message called Take the Bull by the Horns. And I started in it last week and started explaining some things to you. And you're going to have to probably go back and listen to the message, go download the SoundCloud to keep up with what's going on, because I'm just telling you, church, the world is crazy. It's getting crazier by the day. And you need, in your own lives, to take the bull by the horns and to get your life going the way that that Jesus wants it to go. Hello? Did you hear what I said? How Jesus wants it to go, not how you want it to go. Too many times we stand around trying to get Him to do what we want Him to do when it's not even the will of God. Come on. Y'all didn't like that, huh? Make you mad you won't go home over just that statement. Hey, listen, you didn't get saved to have a magic genie. If you did, you're wrong. You're wrong. If you got saved so that you can just have a magic genie lamp you can rub and get your wishes answered, you're wrong. We're here on this earth for a purpose, for a reason. Jesus saved you because you have a destiny and a reason and a plan for your life. He's got something for you to do in life, somebody to speak to, somebody to talk to, somebody to tell about how good He is. Hello? That doesn't mean we're all preachers. It doesn't mean we all do, have to have some sort of a pulpit ministry. What it means is every day what you're doing all day long, that you're glad you're saved, you want to tell somebody about how good Jesus is because He's alive and moving in your life. Hello? But our lives sometimes get out of control. Our lives, we get addicted to things. We get hurt. We get wounded. We get, you know, shell-shocked, whatever happens in life. And if you don't watch it, those hurts and pains, those wounds in your life will start to sidetrack you, and you will get off track in life because you're over here and you're in bitterness now. You're in anger now. You're in jealousy now. You're in addiction now. You're not in relationship with Jesus. Hello. You get hurt and wounded. You get a little twisted, a little warped. And then you get over here and then you're now no longer are you working every day to develop your relationship with Jesus. Now you're just working to make money, to make ends meet, to try to do something to make you feel happy. I want to tell you here. Listen to me this morning. Everything in my life is not perfect. In case you think that pastor gets a free pass, you know, like, what was it that we played? Monopoly, where you get the get out of jail free card. I don't have no get out of jail free cards. I live just like you live. But I want you to know my happiness and my joy comes because I know him. And I know that no matter whatever goes wrong in my life and whatever's happening in my life, it doesn't make any difference because Jesus is going to see me through it. I'm going to come out on the other side. I'm going to win. I'm not going to be defeated. I am going to overcome. I'm going to overcome by the power of the Lord, not by my power. Hello? I'm going to win. Oh, I wish everything. I wish I had a magic genie lamp. Oh, I'd use it. Boy, you can bet. I like comfort as much as anybody does. So over my life, the Lord has had to pull me off the walls several times and get me down to a place where I would listen to him because I was running off doing what I wanted to do. And he's had to pull me down and he's taught me some things. And those things that he's taught me, I want to teach you. And this message, I haven't felt this strongly about a message in a long time about these 10 points that I have to give you of taking the bull by the horns to really truly believe that it can help you. Now, I've got the manuscript almost finished. I found one thing that was wrong last night and I didn't get it work finished, but this week I'm going to have the manuscript finished. The covers are being printed. I'm going to print this book because I believe this book is going to help you to be able to use in your life as a tool, but then to help others also. I believe that God has called us into a time and a place where it's not just about you, it's about you helping others. Okay? And that God wants to equip you and empower you so that you have confidence and knowledge to help other people in their walk. All right? Because that's what it's about, helping somebody else walk on their walk with Jesus. Amen? So I talked to you last week about all that Jesus has done for you. He's made a way for you. He made a way where there was no way. He took and came to this earth, came down to this earth, died on the cross, paid the price for your sin, washed away your sins so that you could be in a right relationship with your Heavenly Father. He opened the doors of heaven to you. He opened the windows of heaven to you. He made a way. He said, there it is. But then it's up to you to get on that path and get to the throne room. It's up to you to have the relationship. And it's not going to just come. You have to develop it. You have to develop it. Jesus isn't just going to come sit down and everything's just, you know, with you in your house but when you're not wanting. Listen to me. If you show up at my house and you're uninvited, well, then you're an uninvited guest. I don't like uninvited guests. I mean, I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you the truth. Would you like to go, like you went to San Antonio, did some shopping that day, you came home and you just walked in your house and there's a whole bunch of people in your house. You know, you didn't even know them. They're just all sitting in your house, eating your food at your table. And you're like, excuse me, what are y'all doing? Well, we just saw your house. I just want to come by. No, the people that come that you have supper for, that you cook a steak for, you do something for, are your people that you have a relationship with, right? I mean, I'm not crazy. Are y'all looking at me like I'm either not making good sense or something here? No, I'm talking about that's who comes to your house, who you have a relationship with. Well, Jesus wants to come to your house, but you got to have a relationship with him. Okay? And so over the years, I got 10 points here, 10 simple points, 10, just 10. Everybody say just 10. I mean, just 10. It's not like 999 ways. No, just 10. That if you would apply these principles to your life, I can guarantee you success. Okay? If you say, well, I don't like number one. Or, I can promise you this. Or, if you say, well, you know, pastor's got those points, but I just really think I could, if you did this and this, it'll work. And I want to tell you something. If you get my 10 points out of order, it ain't going to work. I'm that confident in it. If you get these 10 points out of order, it ain't going to work. Let me ask you a question. When you go out and you start your car, you go out and get in your car, don't you go through a sequence? Like, you don't go out to your car and unlock the door and get in and then try to put it into gear and then start the car. Right? I mean, obviously, you have to start the car while it's in neutral or park. Y'all with me? Now, unless you've been, you know, messing around with your vehicle or something, but. And there's a way, you don't start the car from outside the car. You know, you usually get in the car. There's a way you go about getting a car going, right? And then the car, do you know something about a vehicle that's really interesting? You cannot even understand how an internal combustion engine works. You can have no idea of how that car works, but you can understand and learn how to operate the car and run that car its whole entire life and never understand how it even works. But if you operate the principles in the same way, you know, it'll work. What if you were real industrious and you went out there and you took the seat in your car and you said, look, I'd like to turn around backwards. I'd rather drive in reverse than forward. I like the way the car looks like going out the back of the windshield rather than going out the front. So you modified it. You turned it around. You can't do that. Y'all with me? It won't work. So what I'm saying to you is that's what happens to us in our lives. We get our lives and we get our lives twisted around and we get off course and then we decide that we'll make this work. And you wonder why your life is difficult? It's because you're driving in reverse. And you got a crick in your neck because you never changed the seat around. You've been looking like this the whole time. And you wondered why it was uncomfortable. Everybody else enjoyed their life, driving their life. And you don't like your life. Well, you're looking out the back window instead of the front. Okay, so point number one, all right? And I'm going to take time on this. I'm not in any hurry. But point number one is simply this. And listen to me. You better write them down. You better get it in your heart because I'm telling you, this is the principles you have to learn, the steps. Number one is you have to learn who Jesus is. Listen to me. It sounds simple. You say, oh, well, I know who Jesus is. Do you? If Jesus walked into this building, would you know him? If he was just dressed like us, I mean, you know, no long hair and a lamb in his arm. No robe and sandals. He's just dressed like one of us. Would you know Jesus? Okay, well, then let's put it this way. People who say that they know Jesus, okay? Can you look at those people and see if it's really Jesus or not? Can you look into somebody's life and say, ooh, that's Jesus? Think about it. You get a whole bunch of preachers out there preaching a whole bunch of different things. Do you recognize Jesus? Somebody says, hey, God told me this, and what they say God told you, do you recognize it as something Jesus would do? You see, you got to know who Jesus is. You're not going to know, you know, like just say, for instance, if you heard the rumor that I robbed a bank, all right? You just heard the rumor around town, Robert Richards robbed a bank. Y'all would say, I would hope you would say, well, that's kind of out of character for him. I can't. That doesn't really seem like he'd be robbing a bank, you know. That just doesn't sound like pastor at all. Are you with me? It would not be something that I would be doing. It's not my nature. Because you know me. You know enough about me that I wouldn't be a bank robber, right? Okay. So what I'm saying is you have to know Jesus. You don't just read your Bible to just learn a story. You're looking to see, why did Jesus do what he did? Like, let me just give you some. I am being humorous, but it's the truth. Do you know that Jesus loves barbecue? He loves a barbecue. You think I'm being sacrilegious here? He loves to barbecue because his father loves to barbecue. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. The Bible's full, the Old Testament's full of feast sacrifices. All had to do was take the animal, put it on the pit, and cook it. Jesus comes along when in John chapter 21, when the disciples are out on the boat, and he's come from the resurrection, he comes back. When they get up to the land, he's got a fire going and fish already on the pit. He said, well, that's just all the way that they did. They didn't have an oven then, I don't know. Well, you can go look at it all you want to, but they love the barbecue. They are about starting a fire and cooking some meat on it. You with me? Let me tell you this. Jesus loves a party. I'm not talking about some drunk blowout. I'm talking about he likes to be around people enjoying themselves, having fun, smiles on their faces. He loves it. The Old Testament is equally full of every feast that they had. They quit working and they went to a party for 7 days. So Jesus is just acting like his father acted because it's the nature of God. It's the nature of Jesus. You go, how many times do you find Jesus is at the wedding of Cana? Jesus was at the house of Simon the leper, big feast going on. Jesus was always doing something where there was a big crowd of people and they're all in there eating and drinking and having fun. That environment that fellowship creates, the environment that people enjoying each other's company and talking and laughing, that nature he loves. Like I said, I'm not talking about drunk blowouts and that kind of stuff. I'm talking about that koinonia fellowship. Jesus loves that. Oh, yeah, Jesus also loves to pray all night. But you got to understand, you got to know who he is. Now look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said he wants you to learn of him. Learn from him and learn of him. You're not going to learn of Jesus by spending 8 hours a day at work, 4 hours a day watching television, and 8 hours a day sleeping, waking up the next morning to do it all again. You're not going to learn who Jesus is. Listen, CNN's not going to tell you who Jesus is. Fox News is not going to tell you who Jesus is. Oh, there's Christian movies you could watch or something like that you might learn a little bit about who he is. You're going to learn who Jesus is by spending time in his word. If you do not read your Bible, listen to me, you're not going to have any success in life. End of story.
Well, I don't need to go to church. I can go pray underneath a tree.
I'm not talking about going and praying underneath a tree. I'm talking about knowing what the word of God says.
Well, I can't read.
Yeah, you can. Get the audio version. Listen, no matter what excuses you have, there isn't any. There isn't any. The thing is, we don't prioritize our time. We do not believe it's really that important. We know we got saved at one point. Something happened to us. Some preacher threw some water on us and we got saved. And then we just believe that we're going to die and go to heaven and you're just living your life as is, whatever happens. Kumbaya. Whatever. You know, and some of us have easy lives, some of us have hard lives. You don't care. You just, you know, it's all right. It's just how you are. And you're apathetic. And I want to tell you something. The world's about to change, and apathy ain't going to cut it. Okay? The world's changing, apathy ain't going to cut it. You better know who Jesus is, and you better know what the Word of God says. You better know what your promises are, and you better be able to stand on them. And you better be able to recognize what is Jesus and what is not. I'll say this. I'll throw it out there. Go ahead. Send me a letter. Our government, I don't know if you notice this, our government's trying to tell us what Jesus thinks. And I don't take instruction from our government on the Bible. They're trying to say that what they're doing, oh, if Jesus is here, he would do this with amnesty and all these kind of things like this. That's not even biblical. And I don't like the government telling me who Jesus is. I don't like it at all. But you don't know, unless you know who he is, how to represent him or how he's represented. The world out there gets confused because they don't know Jesus. And so when the government says, oh, well, Jesus would do this, they say, well, yeah, he probably would, because they don't know him and they can't make the proper decision because they're apathetic and they've never even gone to Walmart. Now, listen, I'm not dogging Walmart here, but they don't even go to Walmart and buy a Bible. I'm not even talking about a Christian bookstore. I'm not even talking about going and seeking out some Christian bookstore to buy them a nice leather. Man, you can buy a Bible at Walmart. I'm glory to God. Praise God. How easier could you get it? Get you a bag of potato chips and a Bible. Are y'all with me? It's not like, oh my God, we couldn't seek out and find this thing, this elusive thing called a Bible. No, it's everywhere. Bibles are everywhere. Go to Walmart, buy a Bible. The first time I saw that, it struck me odd. You know, my wife was in there doing something, and I just walked around, walked over to the book aisle, and I was looking at gun magazines. You know, I walk around, I was like, they got a Bible in here. And so then I started checking all the time, see if they're still got Bibles for sale. Now they got all kinds of different varieties of Bible. Now they got devotionals. I'm like, look at this. You can go to Walmart, find out about Jesus. So what I'm saying to you is the world's trying to be told who Jesus is, but the world doesn't know him because they never spent time with him. They never learned who he is. Okay? They never sat down. They never researched it. I mean, think about this. If you go through the scriptures, you know, just think about it. Have you ever just sat down and read the whole story about Jesus going to the temple and kicking the table over and running everybody out with a whip? That is intense. That was church. But now think about that today. If somebody says, oh, well, no, Jesus is nonviolent. He's only the one with the little lamb that he pets, you know, as he goes through with the life with his little sandals on, petting and stroking the little lamb. Hey, well, wait a minute. I know a side of Jesus. I mean, he'll get out a whip and beat you. Not Jesus, not the sweet Lamb of God. Read your Bible. The day, listen, you can go in there and read, I believe it's Matthew 23, where Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. The wording and the verbiage he used that day is a hair away from cussing at what he told them that they were. Brood of vipers, dead, full of dead men's bones. You think you're going to get away from the wrath of God? That's intense. What did he do? Just put the lamb down and change clothes and came out different? No, it's who Jesus is. And see, the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand that Jesus said, to those that have, more will be given. And those that don't have, even what they have will be taken away. Don't tell me about socialism. Jesus is not a socialist. Jesus is not a communist. Jesus is a capitalist. He says, what you got, those that have, more will be given. Those that don't have, even what they have will be taken away. Ooh, got quiet. Don't tell me about socialism. It's not godly at all. No, we're going to help everybody. Everybody gets equal. We're going to give it to everybody. That's not the Bible. That's not my Jesus. That's not what he preaches and teaches and who he is and his nature. But unless you know him, you're not going to know that. So the world's deceived because they don't know him. And there's Christian people that have never read their Bible. They don't know who Jesus is. They go to a dead religious church full of dead men's bones, and they believe they're a Christian, and they're going to get swept away in the tide, it's going to come flowing in and sweep them away because they don't have any root. They got no foundation. They don't know who he is. So you got to. I'm pleading with you. You've got to. You've got to go into the Bible. You've got to spend time. Listen to me. Some of us have spent time worrying about something so long that that worry has developed us. You're a product of a developed worry. If you're scared of the world because something happened to you in life and something happened to you and you're scared, and that fear comes into your life, and that fear begins to rule you, and that fear begins to direct you, and that fear begins to take over your life, well, then all of a sudden, you've spent more time learning about fear than you have about faith. And so it's developed you. Folks, my goodness, we spend so much time worrying about things until we turn it into a giant problem. All right? But we won't spend any time developing a relationship with Jesus. It's because of religious demons from old school churches that have ingrained in us. It goes all the way back into before the Protestant Reformation, when laymen couldn't do anything. They had to have priests that could tell everybody what to do. And it's that same demonic spirit all the way from, 1400, all the way through the world today, saying, well, you people don't have enough sense to know who God is. Therefore, we have to interpret to you who God is. And it's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit to keep you from knowing who Jesus is. Because the devil knows if you really know who he is and you're really locked in and you really know what rights and privileges are yours, you're going to cause him problems. And he doesn't want you to cause him any problems. So he wants to just let you just be apathetic, let you get along. Oh, he'll let you get to heaven because he can't do anything about that. But in the meantime, he's going to try to take as many people to hell that you're going to pass on the road of life. All right? Okay. Now, you've got to understand something. In knowing and desiring to know who he is, the one thing that you have to be praying all the time is that you want to know the truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. John 8, okay? If you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. But you've got to desire and want to know truth. But see, this is where it gets kind of sticky. Because in desiring to know the truth, it may be revealed to you that you are wrong. See, we want to be all, fluffy, pious little Christians and say, oh, yes, I want to know everything about you, Jesus. And he comes in and said, okay, well, what you're doing over there, I don't want you to do anymore. And you're like, yes, I really want to know everything about you, Jesus. And he says, well, I want you to quit doing what you're doing over there. Yes, Lord, I really want to know more all about you. Can you just talk about something else? he comes in and says, look, what you're believing there is wrong. And we're like, what do you mean? Heaven forbid I'd have to change. Yeah. The way you're talking to that person is wrong. Don't ever do it again. And you're like, well, I didn't say anything. They just got sensitive ears. I don't know what their problem is. You see, folks, we've got to want to know what truth is. We've got to desire and want to know truth. Maybe the other person is not wrong. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're warped and twisted from life situations and things that have happened to you, if life's events have warped and twisted you, and I hate to say it, but maybe you're the one that's a little crazy and they're sane. Well, I'll turn to the person beside you and say, man, I just love it when Pastor preaches like this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. It 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. It says here, now, there's these two guys, and these two guys were the two magicians when Moses went into Pharaoh's courts, okay? And it says, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. In some translations, that word corrupt is actually translated warped. And I don't know, but, you know, being in construction, warped, I don't like warped lumber. You cannot do anything with warped lumber. If a board is twisted, you get it straight on one and it's crooked on the other, right? If you're going to nail a piece of sheetrock up on a warped stud, you start at one end and you're right. You may have it right at the bottom and the middle will be out. Hello? Because it's warped, it's twisted. No matter how much you pull on it, if you pull the top over, then the bottom goes out. You pull the bottom over, then the top goes out. You pull the middle in, the top and the bottom both go out. It's warped, it's twisted. It says, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do they also resist the truth. They resist the truth. You can't, listen, these two guys were the two magicians in there. When Moses threw down his staff and it turned into a snake, they threw down their staffs and it turned theirs turned into a snake. Every I hate to use the word trick, but every sign that Moses did, they did up until the hand trick and turning the water into blood. The hand trick was pretty cool, although I thought it would have been cooler if it would have been done on somebody else. You know, it worked like this. You know, Moses took his hand up like this. He put it inside of his shirt. He took it out. His hand was leprous white. He put his hand back in his shirt. He pulls it back out. And now it's back normal. I don't know. I'd be kind of scared that somewhere when I looked at my hand, I'd get scared. And when I put it back in my shirt and came back out, it didn't change. So it would be more fun to me to have it say, okay, Pharaoh, put your hand in your shirt. Oh, now it's leprous white. Now do it again. Okay, now it's right. You know, I'd rather it happen to somebody else than me. But anyway. And then God would have lost me in the point where the staff turned into a snake and then he said, pick it up. I said, no way, Lord, man, that thing is a snake. Get it out of here. Get a shotgun. Shoot it. Oh, man, there's no way I'd be messing picking up a snake. But anyway, these two guys did every miracle that Moses did up until the hand trick and turning water into blood and that kind of stuff. All right? Do you notice it says they resisted the truth? If they resisted the truth, that meant that truth had to have been spoken to them. You can't resist truth unless you've heard truth. When truth was coming to these two dudes, right here, they resisted it. So that means God was trying to give them truth at some point of their lives. So they became magicians of Pharaoh, false gods, rather than servants of the Most High God. Are y'all with me? It says, though they got warped mind, they became reprobate concerning the faith. Folks, listen to me. If you stay in untruth long enough, you will become warped and twisted. And then you will not see the truth no matter what the truth is put down to you. You find yourself fighting against God. It's a horrible thing. It's a scary thing. We should desire truth no matter what. We should be the people that fall on our faces and say, oh, God, I want truth. I want to know what I'm doing right. Is it true? If it's not, I don't want to do it because I don't want to find myself resisting you. It's the fear of the Lord in our lives that makes us, compels us, not fear like, oh, God, he's going to fight me, but the fear of saying, I don't want to be wrong. Listen to me, I that's my prayer. That's my heart. I'm sharing my heart with you. These are the points he gave me. My heart in prayer every morning is, God, I want truth because I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to deceive the people. I don't want to get off in truth. I don't want to be old Jannes and Jambres. Man, I want to follow you. And if your heart beats like that, then the Holy Spirit will come into your life and he will reveal the truth to you. And when the truth is revealed to you, then you have to do something with it. If you resist it, you're going to become a false magician. When truth's spoken to you, you have to change. The good news is, the Holy Spirit will come on the inside of you, and he will change you. And it's not painful. Sometimes it's saddening, but it's not painful. In Mark 4, it says that there's four types of soil. Y'all know the story, the parable, right? parable of the seed that fell by the wayside. See, you could have wayside ground on the inside of your heart. And the Lord's saying, look, look, I need you. Look, we're going to do some dirt work over here. We're going to need to dig out that caliche. We're going to need to get that flint rock out of the way. You're going to have to give up on some of this thing. You have to soften. You have to forgive that person that helped you develop flint rock in your life. Hardened your heart. We're going to have to dig out that bar ditch. We're going to have to get that thing to where you can put down some good soil. How many of y'all have laughed around here where they redid the road, you know, and then they rolled out all that grass seed right on top of that caliche and just threw some water on it and left? I was like, glory to God, that's really going to work, boys. I mean, we all look at it and say, it ain't going to work, but I guess it fulfilled the state requirement. They did put grass down, but it ain't going to grow on rock. It's the parable. Jesus said, if some seed falls out there on the wayside, it ain't going to grow. If you've got wayside ground in your heart, you got to change it. Right? Then he said that, you know, then there's some that, you know, that it's got too much thorns and thistles in it. Some that's got too much rock in it. And there is good ground. You've got to desire good ground. You've got to want your heart to be good ground. Lord, here's my life. Here's my heart. I want you to sow good seed in it. But you're not going to know that unless you spend time learning from Him. The danger is that you start listening to yourself rather than the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Because if you listen to yourself, you may be warped. Listen. All of us have some warpness in us. I don't care who you are. All of us have some warpness in us. My father, man, if my father was in here today, I would be so appreciative and just thank him and thank him and thank him and love him and kiss him for everything that he's taught me in life, how to be a man. He taught me in life how to not to, what was right, not to steal, not to cheat, how to make my, you know, be a man of my word and all that. But there's some other things that he taught me in life that it wasn't right. Wasn't right. And it warped me. And I had to do some changing. And I had to let the Holy Ghost come on the inside of me and help me. But I love him for everything he taught me that was right. I'll never forget my father one day. He and I were in a semi-religious argument. And he was arguing if his thinking was right. And I knew he was wrong because I knew the Bible. And I knew what Jesus said. I read it more than he did. I knew I was right. And finally he got mad and he put his foot down and said, well, I know the Bible says it. God helps those that help themselves. And I said, Daddy, man, I love you. But I said, Ben Franklin quoted that. And it ain't in the Bible. And the look on his face, because he knew that his son outsmarted him. I said, Daddy, man, you don't know what the Word says. You don't know what the Bible says. You only know what you've been taught. And some of the things you've been taught is wrong. And you got to know what the Word says. You know, he didn't like it. But, you know, he did begin to seek God more. He did begin to seek out truth after I confronted him with that. And that's the way a lot of people are. They're good people. And they have good morals and good things in their life, but they don't really know Jesus. They don't really know Him. They don't know really the truth. And what happens in life is that this world, you know, it messes us up. And then we get warped and twisted, and then we're not walking in truth. And we have to be people who desire truth. Okay? Listen to me. The Holy Spirit, and I'm finishing up here. The Holy Spirit will always bring you inspiration. The Holy Spirit will always bring you correction. And it'll always bring you comfort. The Holy Ghost does not condemn you. Listen. You're praying along and the thought comes to you. You know what your problem is you're too fat. That ain't the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, he's not bringing you into condemnation. Y'all with me? Well, the problem is, you know, you're just stupid. Well, wait a minute. That's not the Holy Ghost either, because the Holy Ghost ain't going to speak to you that way. The Holy Ghost will come to you and say, I think you better read that scripture again. That's the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost will say, well, wait a minute. Do you really believe Jesus said that? See, it's comfort. It's inspiring. Yeah, there's correction because we make and do wrong things. I mean, my constant battle in life is that something happens, I react, and then I'm just saying, now this is what needs to happen. And the Lord says, Robert, do you really think that's what Jesus would do? And I said, no, it's what I'd like him to do. Bring the fire down from heaven, God, smoke and fire, got him. And then I just stop and say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, you're right. What would Jesus do? Okay, Jesus, what was he going to do? What was he going to do? All right, he'd pray for him. Okay, I'll pray for him. Father, just bless those stupid idiots. And then I hear the Holy Ghost say to me, Robert. Well, they are, Lord. So we had to have this discussion back and forth. You see? But I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit telling me that I'm not doing right. Because he knows me. I want to do right. I want to walk in truth. I want to do what he wants me to do. I don't want to be in error. Because I know error makes you warped. And I don't want to deal with twisted, warped wood in my life. Okay? So, that's the end of point one for today. Okay? You got to know it. Listen to me. Now, I'm going to challenge you. Okay? I'm going to challenge you. If you're not on a daily basis reading your Bible, I challenge you to start. Read one chapter, one line, one anything. Start in one of the Gospels so you can know who Jesus is. And just read it. It is, I'm telling you, I don't care if you read it. Put your Bible in the bathroom. Read it in the bathroom. I don't care. Doesn't make any difference where you're doing it. You don't have to have this beautiful, holy state of mind and place to go read your Bible. Read it wherever. Man, your phone is so cool. I've always got my phone everywhere with me. I can be sitting waiting on somebody. I just get it out and read a scripture. Read a verse. Read a psalm. Read whatever. You've got to know and read. Okay? But when you read, you got to pray, Holy Spirit, I want to know truth. Speak to me. And I'm telling you, if your hearts desire that and you yearn and long for that information, that you want truth, when you pick up the Bible, it is going to come alive to you. It's going to leap off the page. It is going to become so, you're going to read it like, wow, I never saw that. Otherwise, if you just say, well, I just got to read. Pastor, we got to read. If we don't read, we're going to go to hell. We've got to read. Well, you know, that ain't going to get nothing. You're just spending your time. You're just wasting your time, right? When you read, listen, there's no magic genie. There's no rubbing the lantern. But the closest thing to it is when I open up my Bible and I get those words. Let me just share this with you. I'll close. When I was down last week preaching, I preached this message, but I just preached my guts out. I preached all 10 points in 2 hours. But I preached 2 hours straight. Okay? So I threw down everything I had. Man, my guts were out there. I had already preached for 2 hours straight. Friday night, these people are serious. These people are intense. They don't want to have no cut no breaks. They want whatever God's had. So I'd preached for 2 hours straight and then laid hands on every man in that place for about an hour. So I was spent by Sunday morning. So Sunday morning, I wake up and I'm just like, I don't know what you want to tell everybody at the church today, Lord, but I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, I'm kind of spent. I preach my guts. I ain't got nothing left. But I know you do. So I got up, went and got me a cup of coffee, went back into my room that I was staying in, and I opened up and I read. I read every day. I read one Old Testament scripture, one psalm, one proverb, one gospel, a chapter in the gospels, where am I at? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then I read one in the epistles every day. That's what I do. I read five chapters every day. Well, I had traveled on Friday, so I had to leave early that morning, so I didn't read my Friday scriptures. Saturday morning, I'd got up and I had to be at the men's meeting and preach, so I didn't read what I would have normally read for Saturday. So now it's Sunday morning, so I'm reading what I should have read on Friday. Y'all with me? Because I follow along, I have it all written down, I know what chapter I'd read, and so that's what I was reading. It's like, you know, a lot of Bibles are like that or whatever. Anyway, so the first book I go to is the Old Testament I was in, and I'm reading it, and all of a sudden, it's just because I just sat down and said, okay, Lord, you're going to show me what you want today. And all of a sudden, this scripture just, boom, just like it was. I was like, man, that is cool. Look at this, what he said right here. Yeah, that's good. So I wrote it down. So then I read my Psalms. My Psalms didn't really speak to me much. I didn't see much in it. Then I read my Proverb, and the Proverb I say, oh, that was good right there. Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. You know, then I go over there and I read the Gospel. And I'm reading the Gospel, I'm like, wait a minute, now that ties in with this over here. And I went, whoo, and then all of a sudden the meeting's on, man. I got to preach. I can see what the Lord's saying through the scriptures he's given me. It's like, wow, this fits all together. This fits over here, and this fits over here, and this fits over here. So what was so funny about it is I said, man, I got one more scripture I need. I mean, one more verse I can think of I need. And where is that? You know, I was trying to just remember, and I said, I just get on. You know, so I type in a word, and I search it, and it goes back. And it was the proverb that I was reading that morning that I didn't even catch that was the proverb. Had that verse in it. So within a matter of like literally 2 minutes, I was so excited and pumped about this message that I had to preach to the people of what I thought God was saying. And I had it all down in there. Man, I had it all in there. Woo, this is going to be good preaching, Lord. So I'm all excited, man. I'm ready to go. So, you know, man, I'm relaxed. So I got the message, got it all written down. Drink me a few more cups of coffee. Go eat me some breakfast. Go down to the church. Sister Annie starts the service, she starts preaching, she says, I just hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, and she begins to quote the same scriptures that I was going to preach. Now, she had it kind of in a little different twist, because she's a different person, a little different twist, but I'm sitting over there laughing. I said, man, this is cool. She's preaching my message. So then I get up, preach, and say, well, I just want y'all to know, I got this early this morning. I didn't just steal it from Annie right now. This is what the Lord says. So you see what I'm saying? It all came from the Word. It all came from the Scriptures. Everything came from that. Jesus, it just boop, opened up and there it was. That's the way you have to live your life. And it's the same for everybody. It's the same for everybody. That's what is there for you. So when you get excited, you get your Bible, you start reading, you ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate it, you're going to see things that are going to speak to you. They're going to speak to you and speak to you. Okay? And next week, I want to show you what you do when those scriptures speak to you, what you do with them. Okay? Because that's point two. Amen? Amen. Well, close your Bible. Stand to your feet if you would. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so happy. I'm so happy, so very happy. And I'll tell you why I'm happy. Because I know today that I delivered to you what Jesus wanted you to hear. Now, that was my job. I know I feel happy because I know I did my job. Now, what would make me happier is for you to do it. It would add to my happiness. Right? And so what I want to challenge you is do it, church. Come on. Do not set aside time for other things. Set aside time to let that word come out to you, leap off those pages to you, and let Jesus speak to you. Amen? So I want to do something with you here this morning. Okay? If you got your Bible, just get it in your hand. If you got your iPad or your iPhone, I don't care. It's not sacrilege to have your iPhone up. I don't care. It's still the Word. And I want you to say this with me. Say, I'm going to read my Bible because it's full of truth. And it's going to change my life. Look at the person beside you and say, hey, read your Bible because it's full of truth and it'll change your life. Amen. Amen. Now, if you would, can I have my prayer team come down? You may need prayer today for something. going on in life. We're here to pray with you. I just want to tell you, church, listen to me. If you're not living an exciting life with Jesus, get started. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 is a scripture we use all the time about salvation. But it says that if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus, that he's the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead, that you'd be saved, right? But listen to me. If you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus and get excited about him, he gets excited about you. He's already excited about you, but then the relationship clicks. Are y'all with me? So that scripture you used to get saved with, used to bring the Spirit of God and the power of God in your life and to start flowing in your life. Get excited, man, about Jesus. Get excited about reading your Bible, learning who he is. So grab that person's hand beside you. And I'm just going to pray over you and bless you today. And we're up here for you if you need prayer. Father, right now today, in Jesus' mighty name, I just thank you. That, Lord, we feel the move of your Spirit today. We feel the power of your Holy Spirit flowing in our lives and in this church today. And I just ask you, Lord God, right now that as we go out in this world, that, Lord, you equip us with everything we need as we read your word and we seek the words of life. That it leaps into our hearts and it comes into us, and Lord, you instruct us daily. I ask you today, Lord God, that we can share this with others and tell people about others, and the love and the excitement that we have for you, it just spreads all over everybody else. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Now, Lord, as we go into the world, just give us divine appointments. People that need to know you, Jesus, let us run across their paths. Lord, we thank you for it and we praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, church. We're up here if you need prayer.